Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-hostess, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is Monday, September 30th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear your comments and questions because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning forgiveness.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, hi. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I only recently found out that I would need to call in as host, so I'm still driving. I hope the voice is okay.
Yes, your voice is loud and clear, and I wasn't quite sure what was happening, so I just got on time on the switchboard. But it looks like Jeannie's here. Jeannie?
Hi, how are you all doing?
Good. You sound like you're in an empty room.
Oh, okay. Let me move into another room and see if it's any better. All right. Does it sound better in here?
Oh, we can hear you fine. It just it brings out the goddess in your voice. It sounds like you know, there's like a boom behind. It's nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we the only holdback with us Skyping in is that somebody actually has to call in as host first. It won't let us Skype in directly. So as long as one of you calls in as host. Then we can Skype in, and we're in there fine. But it just won't, for some reason, the Blog Talk system won't let us Skype in until someone has called in as host. So thank you for doing that. And Michael has actually gone down to the train station to pick Peter up, so they should be getting in any minute. So I told him I would go ahead and start the show. So how is everyone doing today?
I'm doing great. I had a nice weekend. We have we're hosting a German exchange student in our house for a couple weeks, so I decided that it would be a good idea to take her to Canada. So it's a busy weekend.
Awesome. And Michael and Peter just walked in.
Sounds like they brought the train with them.
Do they need some time to get set up?
I think, yeah, give them just a minute. And I think that the noise is probably Tim's car noise because I hit mute. But anyway, Michael is here now.
Well, hey there.
Hey, Michael.
We just came in from the big city, and Peter has arrived from Malmo. And lots happening here in Sweden. Dr. Tim with us?
Yep, he is.
Yes, I am.
Him.
How do you be, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm heading back to my...
You're cutting out. Say it again.
I'm anxious to hear about Sweden.
Okay. Let me just, Jeannie, are you doing the switchboard or?
Michelle's on there.
Okay, let's mute this. I'm going to call in and see if it's any better. This is cutting in.
Okay.
So we're going to try, I'm going to try calling in from my cell phone. It's cutting in and out here, so give me a second.
All right, so we'll do a little intro about what we're here to talk about. The ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, which has nothing to do with pardoning people, and it has to do with removing whatever's unlike love from inside my mind-body energy system. So the tool for that is available for free on the internet site, www.whyagain.org. And you can click on the link that says start here. It takes you to a page that lets you download Chapter 24 of Michael's book, the latest version of the worksheet, a seven-step process, and five or six audio downloads where Michael and or Jeannie walk someone through the process. So there's everything you need to get started. And if you apply your willingness and the pen to the paper, you can soon master the process of forgiveness. And use that tool to remove anything in you that generates anger, fear, sadness, confusion, disappointment, vengeance, regret, guilt, shame, or any other negative emotion, or any other emotion, as we refer to them, that alarms me, that sets off the alarm that lets me know I have chosen energies, I have chosen thoughts that are generating energies that are off target, and therefore generating the very pain that I'm blaming on someone else. And if I can see the hidden part of my mind that's actually generating that pain, I can remove it, I can cancel it, I can forgive it, I can dismantle it, and I can return my focus of my attention to my conscious awareness as the true nature of love. And then the pain's gone, and I see life much more accurately. So that's what we're here to help people do. And that's where you can find the tool. So, do we have Michelle there still?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm managing the switchboard, and we got several callers listening and some people in the chat room as well. So, everything's okay on the end.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that Michael's going to be trying to call in through an app on his phone, and the two times he's called me through that app, it's been a Los Angeles area phone number. So it could be any number because it's an app for his phone. So anybody that puts their hand up, you might try him and see if it's Michael.
Sure. I think
he's just gone up.
Got it. And you put your microphone on too. Is Jeannie on the switchboard?
Yeah. Jeannie is on the, she's here, yes. But she's actually making dinner. We just had Peter arrive from Southern Sweden on a five-hour train ride, and I had to go to town to pick him up, guide him back. And we found this app for the cell phone that we can call in with. So am I coming through clearly and loudly?
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, good, good. Well, if anybody wants to reach us, we are reachable if you have a free cell app called Talkatone. We can call to the States, and anybody with this phone, this system can call us as well, wherever we are in Europe, as long as we have a wireless connection. So that's pretty cool. So we are just, things are rocking here in Sweden. I think I talked the other day briefly about sitting down in a barber's chair the day after we got here, and in conversation find out the gentleman who's cutting my hair is speaks Aramaic, and is part of a 100,000 or so member community that we're plunked right in the middle of. So two nights ago we had a meeting with about a dozen people. It was kind of interesting. There was a man from a local Aramaic-speaking church who
invited us through another friend, and so we were meeting with him and someone from the local university who's an Aramaic professor also came. They call them an academic here. And so we sit down, and there are five of us sitting there to start our meeting out, and about 20 minutes later, another man comes in, and we're told that it's this academic's brother, and 20 minutes later, another man comes in, and it's the academic's brother, and 20 minutes later, another. We ended up with six brothers there. So we had about a dozen people in a meeting for 2.5 hours, and a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement yet, but some of the ideas that we gave them from what we've come to understand from the first century Aramaic were sort of eye-opening for them and of great interest. So they're working to get some schedules rearranged to have us do another Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for their group on Wednesday night. So hopefully that's going to fall in place, and we'll be plugging into a rather large community here in Vällingby, Sweden, just north of Stockholm. And yesterday we made our way about an hour and a half train ride to a little town called Marsta, where we got a ride to the studio where we did a television interview with a magazine called Inspire. And Jeannie has put, I don't know whether it's on the website yet, but if you go to Jeannie on Facebook. And Jeannie, what's your Facebook name? Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E-S-H-A-W. If you just tap into her Facebook, you'll see the article that was written, actually quite a nice-looking article. I have no idea what it says, but I'm told it turned out pretty well. And there is – oh, you've got the whole translation? Oh, okay. So there is a link on her Facebook site, too, for part of the translation. And it's on the Why Again Facebook page. So that's kind of exciting. We did about an hour and 10-minute interview, which they're editing for television here, and we'll be getting a copy. It was kind of an interesting interview. The woman who interviewed me is a naturopath, osteopath, as is her husband, and they have healing practices here and publish a magazine called Inspire. And so we had a rather in-depth healing conversation. And so we'll see how that video comes out. But we got to cover a lot of territory in just a little better than an hour. So that was kind of an interesting process. And Peter has just arrived, so we really haven't gotten quite to catch up yet on what all's happening here. But things are rocking. The energy's moving. And Friday, if you happen to be in the Stockholm area, we'll be doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop probably Wednesday night. If you watch the website, as soon as they confirm, we'll put the location on our website. And then on Friday night, we'll be doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop here in Sweden as well. It's kind of interesting, the flood of energy from the Aramaic world. We got an email from a gentleman who had touched into our work some time ago, who is in Egypt. And he's now studying the Aramaic and wrote us quite a lengthy letter about how things had impacted him. And then today we got another letter from a man actually in the U.S. who's Aramaic. And his email started out thanking us for changing his life from heaven to hell. Or from hell to heaven. Pardon me, let me get that right. From he'd taken the tools and was putting them to work, and so he's also Aramaic speaking, and so it'll be interesting to see how things open up in delivering these ancient tools of forgiveness. And of course, for those who are new to the show, what we're talking about when we talk about Aramaic forgiveness, we're talking about a first century idea, the original idea on the planet of forgiveness, which is quite the opposite of what our culture teaches. You know, we live in a culture that tells us that, of course, everybody else is the problem in our lives, and when they hurt us, when they cause us pain, when they make us angry, when they make us sad, when they make us afraid, all we need to do is forgive them, and then everything will be okay. And, of course, if my physiology is producing anger, afraid, sadness, grief, rage, pain of some sort, letting somebody else off the hook for the fact that that's happening inside of me isn't going to change what's happening inside of me. The first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness was it's a tool for how you go inside yourself and change the content of your own physiology. how you remove what never belonged. And, you know, whoever told us that forgiveness was about removing content from yourself, from your own body-mind unit. And so that's what we're here to support and what we're here to understand. And what this does is it puts an end to conflict. Wherever one actually engages in the process of forgiveness, all of a sudden there's no reason for conflict, whatever people around them are doing. And for those who have been doing the work, you'll notice that in the arenas where you have done your forgiveness work, other people can do their normal crazies, and you stop and you look at them and you go, looks like there's something going on here. Maybe you have a problem. How can I support you? Rather than coming from your own crazy part. And how do you determine if you're coming from your own crazy part? Well, first of all, you have to determine what sanity is. And we have a really simple, easy definition for sanity. It's called human life. And our definition is hold a newborn child. When you hold a newborn, you know what human life is, you know what sanity is. If you can imagine doing a newborn, doing the behavior that you're thinking about doing now, that they'd actually move forward and do that behavior, then probably you're pretty safe in doing that behavior. But if you can't imagine a newborn doing it, you probably shouldn't be doing it either, because it's insane. And the world is insane. We come in as this awesome, active presence of love, and the world immediately starts to pound its hate, its fear, its rage, its guilt, its pain, its drama, and its trauma into us until we think that when those things are locked into our physiology, that when we're experiencing them, that what's being experienced in our physiology is about what they did, rather than about the content of our own physiology. So the forgiveness process is the how-to for removing what never belonged. And so that's what we're here to support in the world. And Dr. Tim and Michelle, we certainly appreciate you guys, you know, kind of covering us with the vicissitudes of being in a country where we don't speak the language, and we actually just got our cell phone working yesterday. So we're kind of getting it, you know, into understanding and moving forward. When Peter came up, he was talking to me about how this was our home turf. He'd never been to this area of Sweden, so he's expecting me to guide him. It's like, I've been here 4 days, you know, give me some time here. But anyway, it's all moving forward and working that through. And so, Michelle, well, Dr. Tim, do you have any other thoughts for us before we move forward and look at calls?
No, I think we should hear more about what the flow of thought is from you and any callers that come in.
Well, Michelle, do we have anybody with a hand up in the switchboard?
Yeah, interesting. In the chat room, somebody said, I encouraged, you know, any questions, and they said, yeah, I'm in the queue. And they said, well, hopefully I'm not going to put people to sleep. And I said, oh, absolutely. Usually there are several people who have the same question. It's resonance. It's always relevant. So that caller is from area code 913, and they are live now. Hello. Great Energy
Hi.
Radio.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you all?
Welcome.
Well,
how can we support you?
Well, thank you for letting me on the air. For appreciated. I've been listening to the show, and I was definitely intrigued by a lot of the information that you all were talking about, a lot of things that you all were talking about, and a lot of it really hits home with me as far as what you teach, the belief systems that you're talking about. That I don't even know if I can say it right. How did you say it again? It's Aramaic?
The Aramaic language, yes.
Working
with establishing first century definitions of the Aramaic words that were used by Yeshua to guide people into living as sane human beings.
Okay. Well, you know, trying to put that in alignment with the way I was raised, which I'm full-blooded Cherokee Indian, with the way my mom and dad raised me and being around my brothers and my whole family, the way I was raised, which is very different than anything pretty much that anybody I've ever met in the States, other than other you know, Native Americans, of course. You know, just trying to be open and to different things and trying to put those two together and really see what similarities they have and how I can learn from it and be a better person because, you know, from learning from a different aspect of forgiveness and the things that you're talking about.
Well, one of the, there's a worksheet on our website. If you go to whyagain.org, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link, and that link says start here. If you click there or you click on the big bullseye in the middle of the page, that will take you to a whole series of downloads around the Aramaic forgiveness process. The second link is the actual worksheet. And in step two of the of that link, of that worksheet, there's a phrase, or I actually don't have the phrase there, but I have the idea there that I borrowed from the Native Americans who, when they went into ceremony, went into sweat lodge or what have you, the term Metaquiasin, that there was the wisdom and the understanding that they weren't just doing this for themselves, they were doing it for all their relations. And so to recognize that what we're really engaging in is generational healing, and that this body-mind unit is a device that carries all of the thoughts, the feelings, and the realities of the ancestors and are passed to the descendants, and that each one of us that takes up that baton has the opportunity to own whatever's in physiology, and where there is that which takes away our human lives, that which takes away the truth about who we are, that we, being the one who at this moment in time holds the baton, can remove those things instead of passing them to future generations. And so really, truly, Metaquiasin, doing it for all my relations, past, present, and future, that opening of this energy window and this energy space for us to really, truly live as true human beings, which is this awesome presence of love, and
right. The
possibilities are limitless when we choose to engage there. And in particular,
right. What
we're looking to do is to restore, and I don't know if there is, I can only suspect that there is, but I don't know if there's an equivalent in the Cherokee understanding of the forgiveness process where you go inside yourself and remove
what
does not belong. My understanding is that would be the purpose of the sweat. That would be the purpose of healing ceremony.
Right. Absolutely correct. That's the way I have been raised to understand. I haven't had the opportunity to do that but once or twice myself, but after I got a little bit older and was able to have the time to do that, actually it's something that I'm looking into doing again, because of time that I have on my hands. I'm disabled. I went into the Army for a little while, and which was, of course, against every single person in my family's wishes. But at any rate, I did it anyway. Now that I'm back and I'm not really able to do as much as I used to, I have a lot of time on my hands. So I'm making some preparations to be able to go actually out to Oklahoma where the Cherokee Nation the headquarters and registry is located. And it's definitely a great place to be because there's a lot of people there that have the same understanding, but that's where you can actually do a lot of that healing and a lot of the sweat lodge and things like that. You don't necessarily have to do different things that they offer, of course. I mean, you're not forced to do anything, really. But I think it definitely, the one or two times that I've done it, it's definitely cleansed me, it's helped me with my energy, the path that's on. And right now, to be honest with you, my path, the energy level, the path that it's on is way all over the place. I mean, it is completely just chaotic right now. And due to some personal things with a soon-to-be ex, And I mean, that's a story for a whole other show. I mean, it'd be a 3-hour show or a 4-hour show if I was to get into that, but I won't do that. But I mean, that's why my energy is all over the place right now. So I'm trying to make preparations for a passage out there, and I can't make it hopefully out there. I can go places in between here and there to where I can actually do the same thing. So it definitely what you were saying about passing the baton and there is a good part about passing the baton as far as your ancestors and having that and holding that. There's good parts to it. The bad, the negative parts to it, I completely agree with you about getting rid of that energy. You don't necessarily have to pass that on to someone else. I completely agree with you on that.
Yes, and if you care to go and download that worksheet and start to work with it, what we found in the Aramaic is a really, an extremely deep understanding of how the human mind works and the psychology of the process of forgiveness. And what ultimately that Aramaic internal process of forgiveness does is it empowers us to go into the parts of the mind that are normally not seen because we live in our cultures in such denial, not wanting to own it. We say, you hurt me, you made me mad, when that happened, it really upset me. Right. And what we've come to understand from the Aramaic is that when we use that language, we're speaking in terms of denial, and our speaking hides the part of our mind from us, that the very part that needs to be healed. And what the Aramaic forgiveness process does is it opens that part to be accessed directly again and cleaned out of the garbage, where otherwise most people live in the hallucination driven by their words that everybody else is the problem in their lives.
Right. And, I am to blame for that, of course, as a human being and not knowing any better, really taking people getting me upset, whatnot, instead of forgiving them or just not even letting it affect me and affect my energy and affect my personality, my day, my week, whatever. I used to do that same thing. Now, as of late, especially the last couple of years, I've been able to really meditate a lot, really get a lot of negativity out, and kind of build a wall on me, so to speak. And so where if someone does, for my feelings, someone does say something that that bothers me, it might be a couple of seconds, and then I meditate about it, or I think about it in a completely different fashion, and I get it out of my system. Now, do I forgive for saying that?
Right.
Yes, I do. I forgive them for saying that, as far as just not having anyone, not blaming them, but blaming myself for even taking a couple of seconds of feeling the way that I did.
Let me offer a couple of refinements in that process, and that is that we have been taught that someone else can hurt us or upset us. And when we language that, what we actually are doing is instructing our minds to show us that hallucination that someone else is hurting us. And as long as we language that, our mind must show us a reality that is in accord with what we've told it to show us. When the truth is, nobody can ever upset me, and by the way, don't ever forgive anybody ever again for anything. Because forgiveness isn't about, I'm going to let you off the hook. There's no need for me to forgive you. If you say something that resonates pain in me, I'm going to feel my pain. Rather than trying to avoid feeling my pain, what we would offer from the perspective of this work is that you can't avoid it. If it's there and someone or something comes along that resonates it, it's going to activate. It's going to bring that into activity. But what I can do in understanding that is, one, shift my language. So instead of you know, when you said that, you really made me mad. Now my brain is giving me pictures and showing me an hallucination that you're the cause of my anger. But, of course, my anger's in my physiology. You can't cause that, but you can certainly resonate it. When I make just the subtle shift in language to, you know, when you said that, that really brought a lot of anger up in me. Now my mind shows me that I have anger in me that belongs to me. It no longer hooks it up to my brain's image of you. And then when I apply first century Aramaic forgiveness, that begins the deletion of my anger. Once I have deleted my anger, you can say that thing, whatever it is that you said, and I'll look at you and go, gee, are you in pain that you would say such a thing? Because now there's nothing left in me to resonate. And so the application of forgiveness is to my own internal states of mind to remove those things, and the application of responsibility communication. If I tell myself that I'm to blame, then I'm going to create another hallucination about something being wrong with me. What we suggest right. as a replacement is, I'm responsible. Who? You just said something, and I'm responsible for what came up in me. By the way, Bear, thank you for showing it to me, and now I'm going to hit the delete key on that. So, you know, yesterday I didn't even know it was there. I had no idea such a thing was in my mind. And now that you've shown it to me and I'm in clear, conscious relationship and willing to be responsible for it, I can now throw it out. That's the forgiveness work. And so now, instead of blaming the people who show us the things we don't want to deal with, you actually start to thank them. Ooh, I didn't realize that was there. Thanks for the opportunity to move through that one. Thanks for the opportunity to move through that one. And now every interaction becomes a healing opportunity rather than another opportunity to find somebody else to blame in our lives.
Right. And all of that is right in line with what I'm trying to work on, and I appreciate what you've said. One thing I did have a question about, though, is that you did mention don't ever forgive anybody again. Now, when you say
that,
and you're around, say, my soon-to-be whatever she is, she's my wife at this point, but I don't know what she's going to be here in a couple of weeks. Let's just say that she says something as a human being does, because we all make mistakes. We all say things
right.
That we don't mean. And we've done that ever since we were 2 or 3 years old, 4 years old. And
that's how the world trains us.
Right. Well, and it's just a natural human response, in my opinion. Because we're emotional
beings. Well, my offering, can I just offer, before you go on, can I offer just a little refinement on that? And that is,
sure.
It's a natural, non-human response.
Now, what do you mean by that? Because we can be trained.
What I mean is we've had non-human responses trained into us based in hostility or fear. They're not human responses. Imagine, once again, imagine the newborn,
yeah.
And would the newborn say that? If the
no,
newborn
yeah,
wouldn't say it,
3 or 4 years
then
old.
It's not
right.
a human response.
Right. And
so we've been brainwashed into that.
Well, but within our brains and the way that our brains work, as emotional beings, we're going to say something eventually that we don't mean. Absolutely. Everybody does it. I don't care if you're the most highly spiritual trained person ever. You know, it just does not, there's no way to completely 100% for all of your life, no matter what you've learned, no matter what you've read or written, block out saying something that you don't mean at some point in your life. Now, do you expect forgiveness for saying something to that person? I would say no.
Well, here's our...
But I would hope they would.
Here's our input. Okay. Stick with me for a minute here. Here's my input. We've been taught a Greek idea of pardoning in place of forgiveness. you know, if you listen to Vladimir Lenin, he says the way to destroy a culture is to change the meaning of its words. So here's what happened when the Greeks took over our languages. We substituted pardoning for forgiveness. So when you and I in this culture today use the word forgive, what we're really saying is, I pardon you. So let's say you and I interact and you say something, quote unquote, terrible. I may choose to pardon you. I say, geez, you know, that wasn't very nice and I let you off the hook. And when you said that, it brought grief and pain up in me. Properly defined, forgiveness is how now that I'm acquainted with my grief and pain, I'm going to go inside myself and remove my grief and pain. So I'm not forgiving you in any sense of the word. I may choose to pardon you. We're redefining forgiveness with its original Aramaic definition. So I let you off the hook, and then I do my forgiveness work of going inside myself and removing my pain.
Okay,
does that make sense?
But wouldn't be the way that you're describing pardoning someone, is that not just replacing the word pardoning for forgiving?
No, it's accurately defining the words. You know, if you listen to Plato, Plato says, let me define the words, I'll end the argument. We've been taught
crazy.
Why? We've been taught to pardon. Pardon me?
Plato was nuts, though.
Well, but he said some sane things, and one of them was, let me define the words, I'll end the argument. So when we're told the lie that forgiveness is about me letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, then I'll never go inside of me and remove my pain, which means I get to live in the why is this happening to me again world, the title of my book.
Okay.
So when I properly define... When I properly define forgiveness, forgiveness is the tool with which I go inside myself and remove from my mind its capacity to produce pain.
Okay,
pardoning is letting you off the hook if you happen to trigger my pain. So now we've defined the words as they were originally meant in the Aramaic.
Okay, so what if you've gotten to the point like I have to where something might be a second or two, but you built up that bubble like I was describing, where not much bothers you anymore. So there's not really a sense of anything inside you, someone else says to you, because you learned to block that out. So do you go on? I mean, do you say anything to them? Or do you say, well, that, you know, I forgive you or I pardon you? Whatever, you know, even though you don't have to search inside yourself, and as far as your definition of forgiveness,
ask on another level. Say it again. I missed you. We got a bit of a delay
over here
in an overlap.
Oh, that's okay. I said, what if you don't allow that to bother you anymore? Like I don't allow bother myself.
That's a good story to tell ourselves. But if I'm allowing someone to bother me, hear me out. If I'm not allowing someone to bother me, then I've got a big bothered part that I'm keeping hidden from myself, and I'm not telling myself the truth.
Okay, but what if you feel free?
Okay.
You feel great. You're happy, and I mean.
Okay, then there's nothing to talk about.
Happiest thing I've ever been, and I'm going through a divorce. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
I'm not making stuff up in my mind.
Well, I don't know because I don't know much about the situation, but why, if you're happy, why are you going through a divorce?
Because she's not happy.
Okay. So tell me more about what the unhappiness is for her.
Because she can't have kids.
Okay.
Financial.
So then here would be my input. Tell me, say
finance.
That again. The financial
finance.
Part of having kids?
No, finances and not having kids.
Okay.
Because I'm disabled.
So then she's disturbed. So she's disturbed by the fact that she can't have children because you're disabled?
No, she's disturbed by the fact that she can't have kids. I have 4 miscarriages. And she's also disturbed by the fact that she's barely being able to make it by financially. Because I don't make much money.
Mm.
Which to me should not matter.
Right.
Finances do not matter to me. Being happy in life and enjoying life to the fullest is the way I was raised. You talked about earlier how
I hear you there.
You talked earlier about how we're programmed, but we also have free will. We also are able to do what we want to do. We're also able to think how we want to think. We're not all robots.
Yes.
That's kind of the way you made it seem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're not all like that.
I'm not sure what you mean by that's how I made it seem. We're robots.
Because you said that we're all programmed by society when we were raised to do and think certain ways. All of us.
Yeah, and until we wake up, that tends to be the game for most people.
Right. Well, I have woken up, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Good. You got my support. I'm with you 100%.
So you know, when you say that I shouldn't forgive anyone ever again, when whatever they say doesn't bother me in the first place, and I don't have to dig inside to face things, and I'm not in denial of it, and I'm a happy person either way,
cool.
Then why are there people like that?
Why are there people like that? I'm not sure which people you're talking about.
Like I have become, which is kind of
well, you know, if we do our work, if we wake up and do our work, then obviously we don't have to function as most of the society does, like robots. That's the objective of the work. My input would be, as far as your relationship with your wife goes, is first of all, if she's had 4 miscarriages, there's probably a lot of realities in her mind of inadequacy. And you might introduce to her the idea that she is a fully functioning human being, and that if she has realities of inadequacy or failure, which would, you know, quite likely be possible for someone who's been through that experience, and is carrying a lot of pain of loss of those babies, then introducing to her the process of forgiveness to go inside herself. And it would not be a process of letting herself off the hook for those things, but rather literally what the worksheet process will do is empower her to go inside herself to remove the pain of the loss of those pregnancies, to remove whatever reality she might be caring about, you know, some of the things I could only imagine might be that it's her fault, there's something wrong with her, that she's not good enough. That's a painful burden to carry.
Yeah.
So forgiveness properly applied would be about going inside of herself and removing those things. You might find that if she works through those things, all of a sudden one of the big motivators for divorce is gone. That healed may simply open a whole new space in your relationship with her. And once that's handled, then handling the financial aspect is probably going to be a whole lot easier. Because oftentimes what the mind will do is it will transfer the reasons it does things from the dissociated and hidden painful parts to things that are more out in the open. You may find, and of course I don't know for sure, but you may find that finances are a mute point once she handles that internalized pain. And you may find the ground to create a whole new relationship.
Right.
But it'll be difficult for her to go into a whole new relationship if she's carrying the trauma of loss, pain, and perhaps inadequacy that, of course, you being her husband, she would naturally, unconsciously come to associate that with you. And it would create an internal stress. And when we don't know how to get rid of those internal stresses, we try to get away from the stimulus of the stress. You may open a whole new space if you were to perhaps introduce that internal forgiveness process to her.
Right. And she's a school teacher, so... But extremely intelligent, but she does not talk ever. We've had maybe three really good conversations in 3.5 years. She is not a good communicator. She just does not talk about things that bother her. She and I can't get her to, even through every possible situation that I have tried to come up with, even with the opinions of my brothers, my mom and dad, my whole family. You know, trying to figure out how I can get her to open up and talk about some things. She keeps everything inside, and basically the only thing that she said when I brought up the word adoption, she freaked out. Those are the most words I've ever heard her say, and most of them were curse words.
I left the room.
And because there was a lot of negativity going on, and she was screaming at me, so I left the room and I actually went outside and walked a couple of my St. Bernards, and didn't let it affect me, and I let her calm down. And when I came back in with the dogs, she was just sitting there watching TV, like nothing had happened. So I figured, well, that's my cue not to ever say that again.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So there's several things.
So my input to you would be that her extreme emotional response to the word adoption is triggering in her the trauma of, and I couldn't fathom. I mean, I've been around and worked with women who've lost children, both from a miscarriage point of view and a live born child. And I can only start to imagine how much pain there must be internally to deal with. And it's going to take, on your part, a huge space of compassion and an ability to hold the space of love for her to be able to open that and work through it. One of my suggestions would be that back in the first year we did this radio show, if you go back into our archives back 3 years ago, we did a series of about 16 weeks on codependence. Now, I don't know if this might be a way to create an opening, but the archives of those shows are on our website. You can access them there. And you might invite her to start to listen. You know, listen to one or two of those early shows and... You know, they're marked, I believe, codependence in the archives, and listen to one or two of them and find one that you think she might be ready to listen to, and just invite her to just listen with you, and that might be a way to open a space. I know that, and we also have a video called Healing Through Relationships, and we actually had a fellow who called into the show about maybe 8-10 weeks ago, and he had shared with us on the show that he and his wife both had their bags packed and at the door, and as a last-ditch effort with all kinds of trauma and infidelity and alcohol in their relationship, that she invited him to watch the Healing Through Relationships video. Mm-hmm. In the 2 hours of them watching that video, their whole relationship turned around. And he has repeatedly been in contact with me with a thank you for support. So that might be a place to go that might, you know, if she's got any opening to start to look, it sounds like she's carrying a huge bundle of pain. And so that might be a way to open that space to start to address it and to get the idea across to her that she doesn't have to carry that. It can be forgiven. It can be unloaded, and she can live free of that. But that's not easy for somebody to get if they've never heard such an idea.
Right, and it's not easy for someone that's also been through a bad marriage the first time before me. I think that
absolutely. That's another whole level of pain to be dealt with.
Absolutely. So, getting her to do that is going to be next to impossible. I'm afraid to say, but I will definitely look at those.
Well, let's open possibility.
I mean,
let's open possibility.
Yeah.
Bear.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Bear, this is Michelle. I was chatting with you. Hey, I saw that you logged off the chat, but
yeah,
so
my computer, one of my dogs unplugged my computer, and so the adapter is not what it's saying right now, so I'm going to have to, after the show's over, I'm going to have to down and reboot it. So that's
okay,
what's going
so,
on. It was not
okay.
on purpose by any means.
No, okay. No, I understand. But what I wanted to share with you, and I was explaining on chat, offering you the website and one other tool that's available that doesn't take her participation at all is called My Commitment. And that's something that you can read to her or her picture or to her face. And it is a commitment that you have about your relationship towards her, independent of anything she may say or do or be. And that in and of itself, I know to be very healing and is nothing that she has to do to shift or change or anything, just something that you can do while you go through the divorce.
Okay. That sounds great.
So,
that's
on the homepage.
Okay, I definitely will look at that, check that out.
Absolutely, and you can download it free from the website. Great idea, Michelle.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know what? If I download it from the website and I have it in writing to where I can just hand it to her, that is going to be a much better approach than sitting down and saying, hey, let's talk about da-da-da. I've got this in front of me. I want to read it to you.
Well,
she's automatically going to go on the defensive because that's just the way she is. It's either her way or the highway.
Read it first, and you'll understand something you're saying to her. You're saying this to her.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bear, let me just share. Let me share something that happened in a workshop last year. We were in Florida. There was a gentleman who came to Jeannie after we did a healing through relationships workshop, and he said, "Well, you know, this is all nice, but none of this would work because my wife and I are already in the process of talking about divorce. There's too much water under the bridge. It'll never work. Just forget." And so Jeannie said to him, she said, "Here, look, take this. It's not going to cost you anything. And read it to her every day and just see what happens. If, you know, if there's an opening, see what happens." Several weeks later, he called her and reminded her of who he was in their conversation that day. And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but our whole relationship has turned around. We're like we're on our second honeymoon." And Jeannie said, "Well, that's awesome. When you read it to her, does she read it back to you?" And he kind of stuttered for a minute. He said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you know, when you read it to her, does your wife read it back to you?" And he said, "She doesn't know I'm reading this." He's going into another room and reading it to her, and a period of about, I forget exactly, 5 or 6 weeks, their whole relationship turned around. So you might not even read it to her face at first, and you might. To recognize and to open a space. If she's got a bad marriage behind her, there's a lot of trauma in there. And just the energetic dynamic of that safe space is monumental. And, of course, with your Cherokee heritage and your family system being that space, if anybody can open the space for you guys to work through that, I would suspect that you probably could. And so that would be our support for you.
I really appreciate that, Michelle. Thank you. I greatly appreciate the conversation and the opportunity to learn a few new things that I can, you know, in the future and that I probably will use. You know, as far as just, you know, I'm definitely trying not to be a closed-minded person. I try to be like a sponge and learn as much as I can. Because the way I feel is that if you stop learning, you stop growing. You stop growing, you stop learning. So, you know,
yes.
Constantly learning, constantly growing is where I'm at right now, and I'm absolutely happier than any than I have been in 20 years, even though this is going on.
Awesome.
So, you know, sounds weird to say that because of the situation.
No, not at all.
But, well, I mean, most people would be out of their minds angry or, you know, pissed off, whatever. They would be, you know, they would be sad, depressed. You know, I am actually kind of relieved in it. So, you know, but it, I mean, I'm still equally as happy as I was before we started dating, and even when we got married, I'm still the same person. So, you know, not a lot bothers me.
Awesome.
I that's just the way I was raised, and you know, it's hard to explain as far as the heritage thing, and to a lot of people, and don't understand. Well, how can you be like? How can you? Be,
Well, my invitation, Bear, my invitation would be to go to the website and download the worksheet. Put the pen to the paper and do a few of them and just see what you find. I noticed that your language often revolves around not being bothered, which sometimes might indicate that there's still a little bit of bother in there. And if you open it, you might find another level of healing in that process. And in the meantime, we certainly hold the space. Michelle, do you have any more input for Bear?
No, just that he can maybe copy the history of the chat and then go through, because I was putting down some of his language, and maybe he can reference it later when he's not in the middle of talking to you, and he can think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I can definitely.
Cool, Dr. Tim, do you have? Cool, Dr. Tim, do you have any input for Bear?
Well, you covered it. I was going to go to the regulatory speech and notice how many times he was commenting that he wasn't upset and not bothered. So that's just in this work, something we know might be an indicator of a place to look.
Okay. So an indicator that you're saying that I am bothered, but I'm saying it because I am? But I really am bothered, but I'm saying it because I don't want to be in that category? Even
well,
though I know I'm happy.
Possibility.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say that often we've learned that the unconscious can speak to us, and the unconscious doesn't hear or recognize the word no or not or don't or can't. And so one of the tools in this work is to watch my own speech. And when I hear myself saying, oh, that doesn't worry me, then I stop and say, oh, I just said that doesn't worry me. I wonder if there's a hidden way that might worry me some. And then I go explore that or do the worksheet process or use one of the other tools to just explore it.
Okay. I'll definitely look into that. Man, I can honestly say the last thing that I was worried about was my garden, because my corn didn't come up. It rained too much. So that was really the last thing I can remember worrying about. But at any rate,
we hold the space for your garden as well.
Yes.
And we've got about a minute left, so we need to wrap up the show.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'll let you guys
go.
I appreciate the conversation.
And thank you for an interesting and, I think, a valuable conversation for everybody. And in the meantime, you know, we are here in Sweden. It's getting on to 8 o'clock in the evening. We're getting ready to have dinner. We appreciate each of you sharing this time with us. We hold the space for healing and invite you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.